One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
I want to speak on something that's troubled me a great deal in my life. I was born with it, and I've had the time to overcome it. And I haven't gotten complete victory over it. But I want to speak on one of the real malignant growths that's born in every baby. And the Bible is so filled with admonition and warnings. Let me begin with the first text. It says, what should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his so, turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 23. A lot of preachers are here today, and I'd say that this is directed in particular to the preacher, at least this verse, or this part of our text, found in Exodus chapter 23, thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Amen. And the multitude's heading in that direction. Amen. He's talking, it sounds like the Sermon on the Mount almost, when he said, if thou meet thy enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. Thou see the ass of him that hated thee lying under his burden and wouldst forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. Thou shalt not wrest the judgment of thy poor in his cause. Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. Now here's one of the texts. Thou shalt not, and thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. Verse 20, one of the greatest verses of the Bible for the Christian, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I've prepared. Now then, I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 21 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now turn to the book of Luke, chapter 12. Luke, chapter 12. I never had seen the seriousness of this sin as much as I saw it this morning. This is the one sin, unless checked, will bring you to the place where the doctor will say, inoperative, this is terminal. There's no way. There's no way. You have to get it as soon as you can. Most people die with this sin haunting them and eating on them. Verse 15, Luke chapter 12, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. There's one thing the rich farmer overlooked. He overlooked the word of God. And when the word of God came, it ruined him. It took everything away from him, even his life. And then God asked him a question, which proves that the man had made no provisions to see that what he had was used rightly after he was gone, because he said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then whose shall these goods be? You've written no will. You've left it for people to fight over, for ungodly people to use. You've been a bad businessman. Listen, the cancer of society, and it's invaded our churches and I'm afraid our ministry, is the malignant growth called selfishness. It'll kill you spiritually. It'll keep you from enjoying your Christian experience. And it'll make you a curse instead of a blessing to your generation. You've never reckoned what Jesus really meant when he said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Let me ask you another question. Why do you want what you want? And what would you do with it if you got what you wanted? I think the simple motto that God has given me works, and that is, you better be a giving while you're living so you can be a knowing of where you're going. I don't want to trust somebody after I'm gone. I don't want to stack up a bunch of stuff and trust somebody else to do something. I wouldn't want to leave it to my children. If I had $1 million, I wouldn't want to leave anything to my children. You'd say, why? Don't you love them? Of course I love them. That's the reason I'm not going to leave them anything. I'll leave them the main thing. Come on now. I'm not going up a blind alley. I know what trail I'm on. I know what the world says. I know what my banker said one day. He said, Brother Olaf, don't you think it's time to lay up something for the rainy day? And I said, Brother, I'm just looking forward to the rapture day. Amen. You wait. This thing will be over one of these days. Amen. That's what the book said. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, for moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves are going to break through and steal. He said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Put them up in heaven. Don't put them on the earth. They'll perish with the using. The rich man, he's rich already. And yet he said, I'm going to tear down my barns. You notice what he said? I'm going to fix a place to bestow all my goods. That's what got him right there. He might have needed a new barn, but he didn't need as big one as he's building. He could have given a third or a fourth or a half or three-fourths of it away. God might have let him live. But notice, the one thing that gets a selfish man is the word of God. The Bible said, but God said. And when he said, it killed him. Amen. And I'll tell you, there's only one thing that'll do selfishness to death, and that's the word of God. Right. You'll never overcome it. You'll never outgrow it. It'll get worse as you grow older. Every little child is born with the attitude and the words, as soon as he learns to talk, that's mine. That's mine. Yeah. Hand on a wagon and another hand on a tricycle and a foot on a bicycle, that's mine. Brother, that's the way they're born, Brother Pete. Right. And they get worse as they grow older. Amen. Age, I found out one thing. Age doesn't cure nothing. Amen. Just get meaner and uglier. as you grow old. Unless, come on, unless you grow old in Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
The devil's crowd gets rotten and God's crowd gets ripe. A lot of difference. What about your selfishness? Preachers, it'll ruin your ministry. It'll ruin your ministry.
Amen.
Verse I've been thinking about, my heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. He knows. Oh, listen. If you and I could overcome and let the Lord be in us to the extent that we'd overcome, I'm going to give you the experiences of men. I mean of men that lived. And I noticed this morning, and the thing, turn with me, please, the book of Genesis. This is where the message came from. I was reading about a fella by the name of Laban. You know, Laban was Rebekah's brother, and later became Jacob's uncle. And Abraham was getting old, and he had a son by the name of Isaac. And he said to his servant, Eliezer, he said, I want you to go find a wife for my son. And he said, don't come back till you find one. And he said, I want you to go to a far country. Don't do nothing around here I want you to pick up for him. I want you to go get one. And so he got his camel train ready. And he went away into another country. And the Bible said he took his stand by the well. Never will forget that night here in Jackson where he said he found water. You know, if you want an interesting study, you read through the Bible when he talks about water, just water. He took his stand by the well. Now, he's looking for a bride. Back in those days, a lot of things happened around water wells. I still believe this thing's growing around the well.
Amen.
And I believe it'd be well for us to stay close to the well. And so he was at the well, and then up came beautiful Rebecca. And he made a pretty hard bargain. He said, now, whoever comes to the well, I'm going to ask them if I can have some water. And then I'm going to say, would you also draw for my camel? That is back, I guess, when the women really had a lot of strength and stamina. And so Rebecca just volunteered, said, oh, yes, sure, and let me draw for the camels. And, brother, I tell you, camel's got a big radiator. Really has. And, of course, Eliezer, he was... He said, you reckon, and that's what he asked for. He said, you reckon this is the one? See, I mean, he still doubted a little bit. And now then, here's the thing that impressed me, though. In the 29th verse, and Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban, and Laban ran out unto the man under the well. And it came to pass when he saw the earrings and bracelets upon his sister's hands, see? He'd already got a bunch of earrings and bracelets. And when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels. Laban was looking at earrings and bracelets and camels. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. Verse 35, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he's become great, and he's given him flocks, herds, silver, gold, men servants, maid servants, camels, and asses. Now then, look over a little piece further. Verse 50, then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceeded from the Lord. Looked like Laban's trying to take over. He's just the brother. But he's mighty glad to see the camels, the earrings, and the bracelets. And this is the beginning, look like, of a long trail for him. And You remember a little later on when Jacob came back, Isaac and Rebekah have been happily married, and Jacob, of course, had to leave home one night because he'd taken advantage of his brother Esau, spent the night at Bethel and went on up, and then he met Laban. And then Laban began to bargain with him. I want to show you now what happens to people that are selfish. Jacob said, I'd like to work for you. And he said, what would be your wages? He said, well, I'd like to marry Rachel. Said, how long would I have to work? Said, 7 years. 7 years. He didn't take everything into consideration. Then you remember he got Leah for the first seven, worked seven more for Rachel. That's 14 years. You know what he did when he did that? He lost his two daughters. Because they told him a little later on, said, you sold us, Dad. You know you sold us. I know you're trying to overtake us now. And listen, Jacob wound up with about everything Laban had. Selfishness. Selfishness. He lost, and I tell you, the daddies that think more of their money than they do their daughters and their sons, you'll lose them before it's over.
Amen.
These high-pressured businessmen that can neglect the family for not anything anymore than money, you'll get yourself in trouble before it's over. They'll know what you love the best.
Amen.
Laban lost out. And I think he died a lonely man. He never saw the face of his two daughters again. After Jacob took them with him and went back to Bethel, he never saw the face of a grandchild again. Why? His selfishness. The cancer got him. What about the man by the name of Achan? Yes. This is a picture of how when a man becomes selfish, he'll think more than of his selfishness than he does his own country, than he does his own people. And so when Achan went up to fight, he picked up a wedge of gold. He got a Babylonian garment for his wife. He came back. He hid both of them in his tent. And the next day, the people of God were defeated. And people died and others were injured. And the cause of the Lord was set back. And Joshua fell on his face in a prayer meeting. And God said, get up. Prayer meeting's over. Search the tents. You know what he did? He wound up in Achan's tent. You know what his selfishness got him? Cost him death. I'm talking about, now I saw it better than I've ever seen it before. Selfishness will kill you.
Amen.
It'll torment you, but it'll kill you. Men and women, mothers and dads, and boys and girls need to gain the victory over this awful selfishness. And Achan died. You know who died with him? His wife. You know who died with her? All the children, every one of them. Listen, selfishness will not only kill you, it'll kill your family. It'll ruin your family. Selfishness. You know what Paul said to Timothy? He said, beware of covetousness, but look out. He said, we brought nothing into the world, and it's sure certain that we can take nothing out of the world when we go. Love, he said, the love of money is the root of all evil. I believe every war is a financial war.
Right.
And dear friends, God said in Matthew 6:33, and this is the answer, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and A-double-L, all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Paul, you say, was poor. He said, I have all and abound. I'm full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things that were sent to me by you. Dear friends, God's going to supply the needs of his children. He'll never forget his children. We talk about a population explosion. God didn't know a thing about that.
Right.
That newspaper never has gotten to him yet. And I praise him for it. But you know, God has weaned me away from everything except the Bible. That's all I have. I mean, that's all I want. Because why would I be digging in somebody else's garden if I've got everything in my own that I need? I mean, I started off with Genesis 5 and 1. This is the book. This is the book right here. Oh, if God's people today could see that God is just as big and gracious and liberal and extravagant as he ever was. And so Laban, Achan, they went out miserable and defeated. And, you know, a man, and I think maybe we might come to this, but I want to mention another man. His name was Haman. Haman. I think Haman's one of the most selfish men. He's one of the smallest men that ever put on a pair of shoes. Haman. To me, he was wicked. He was ungodly. He was little. He had hatred in his heart, and he was determined to kill every Jew on the face of the earth. He said, I'll kill every one of them. And he got the thing signed by the king's signet, and he went home one day, and he said, you know, it'll not be long until the man that will not respect me and call me Mr. Haman or whatever he wanted to call him, he said, I'll have him. I'm trying to figure out which way I should kill him. And somebody said, well, I know of no better way than to build a big gallows, because you'd see him get his fall. And he said, that's a splendid idea. He got his carpenters and they built the gallows, and old Haman would stand there and watch him. Then he'd walk down the street, and old Naboth didn't bow and scrape to nobody but God. When he knew that the decree was signed, he called up his little relative that had become queen after that lovely girl, her wife, Vashti. She's one of the unsung heroines of the Bible. Yes. King said, come up and show off for the people. We're all having a drinking party. Vashti said, report to the king that I'll not be coming. Oh, we need some Vashtis today.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.